The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
Welcome to the Crossman Conversation, CEO edition, offering insights, wisdom, and counsel from the most respected CEOs. Here is the host of the Crossman Conversation, CEO edition, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation, the CEO edition. Today's guest is Glenn Raffrano, who is an old dear friend of mine, done a lot of different things with him, and he is currently the chairman of ICSC, one of the most influential real estate trade organizations in the world. Glenn, thank you for being on the show today.
No, it's a pleasure, John. Nice talking to you.
Always a pleasure. You've done so many great things, and including always being supportive of diversity and helping college students and things like that. So thank you for always being so influential to making the industry better for everybody. That's been a great thing. Let me start with this. Glenn, talk to us sort of big picture about retail. Retail's come through the whole Amazon influence and then COVID, and now seemingly so much of it's doing so well. Can you just give us a big picture? How's the retail industry doing?
Well, John, we have done well. You know, you and I have been around for a while. I'll go back to the first quarter of 2017, and I'm sure you remember when we had a lot of store closings, and you mentioned Amazon. And at that point in time, the market seemed to say e-commerce is taking over, bricks and mortar are in trouble. And frankly, from that period of early 2017 right through the pandemic, we were in the doldrums. You know, we had some issues with occupancy. We had some store closings that continued right through 2019. Then the pandemic hit. Certainly that was not a good time for anybody in 2020, but a very peculiar thing happened right afterwards. We realized in 2021 that there were excess store closings, that stores now with the newfound revenue in the populace and the appetite to go to outside and go to retail stores, there wasn't enough space. And so we find ourselves then in a very good 2021 where demand for retail space exceeded supply. And we found a lot of store openings instead of closings. 22 was a very good year. And as I monitor the public markets, just watching what's going on, occupancies are up for the major retail companies. Rents are pretty strong. Tenants are pretty feeling pretty good about expanding. I was at an ICSC trustees meeting just 2 weeks ago, Los Angeles, and every major retailer was there, and many of them are still looking for space. So we feel pretty good about the market. Everybody's thinking about, is there a downturn and what it means? But relative to what we're seeing in the downturn, retailers are feeling healthy, not a lot of bankruptcies this year, and owners are feeling as well as they have felt for 5 years.
That's pretty strong. And what do you see as the driver of all that today? So a lot of positivity. What's the core that's driving it?
Well, you know, it starts out with some real basics. You know, many of the upfront or top of mind issues you read about is people saved a bunch of money during the pandemic and then wanted to get out and wanted to spend it, and that helped certainly brick and mortar retail. But there's much more to it. I mentioned store closings. We have a pretty good database at ICSC. If you look at the amount of store closings that occurred between 17 and 2019, there were a lot and too many. And what we found was we still had increasing incomes. We had population growth. And retailers, just like some segments of the economy, cut too much. And they found themselves needing more. So the retailer side of the equation became very strong in 21 and 22 because they just cut too much. Then from a philosophical standpoint, I think there was another very big change. Many retailers realized that open brick and mortar stores did a lot for them in their combination with e-commerce. You and I know this word omnichannel, which is a strange word, but it really means e-commerce and bricks and mortar working together. And that was substantiated greatly right after the pandemic. I remember having a conversation with someone from Kohl's, the head of real estate from Kohl's, who said one of their problems was if they closed the store pre or during the pandemic, once the market became better, they lost two very important elements. They lost advertising. People drive by those stores and think about them. And what they're finding now is in their combination with e-commerce, people can buy using their smartphone. And then what the retailer wants is if they don't like something, bring it back to the store. So the store becomes a very important part of e-commerce. So the combination of retailers overemphasizing store closings and now recognizing the power of bricks and mortar has really helped that demand. And on top of that, consumers are continuing to spend. The latest report of 3% last month was pretty good. So we're seeing a good consumer demand. We're seeing a good retailer demand, which is always great for the owner.
Glenn, I went through a really a big moment in my life last year, and then it got repeated just a couple weeks ago because I have two daughters, and they were buying prom dresses. We got a prom dress last year, a prom dress a couple weeks ago, getting ready for that. And one of the points I make with that was, you know, to having a healthy lifestyle. We have more of an awareness as a nation with mental health issues. And it seems like retail, shopping, community, having those life experiences is part of that. And does that kind of dovetail in everything you just said as well?
Oh, I think so, John. I mean, whatever anybody thinks of us as human beings, you know, we're social animals. You know, being held in a cage during the pandemic was not good for any of us. And we want to get out. We want to meet with people. And shopping is a very, very nice way to socialize throughout the economy. And I agree with you 100%. Congratulations on having two daughters going to proms, by the way.
Oh, that's awesome. That's been great.
Yeah. I mean, it was awesome and scary at all at the same time.
This is for sure. So, Glenn, tell me this. Talk about retailers. You're talking about all these national retailers expanding. Can you give us any examples from your mind? Who's hot? Who's a retailer that people should be looking out for, leasing space to, or doing business with? That's a hot one.
Well, I'll give you some thoughts, and these are fresh as of a couple of weeks ago. You may know, John, what we do at the trustees meeting. At an ICSC trustees meeting, we have about 100 to 120 people in the business. It's a combination of retailers, and we probably had about 30-35% of that group retailers, and the remainder are owners or service providers like Cushman & Wakefield and other of those firms. So we have a good cross-section, and we also have capital markets people, Goldman Sachs, Citibank. So we have good people who are in the market every day. We always ask a question of the retailers. What did you see during Christmas? It was that time of year. And how are you thinking about expanding in 2023? So to your question, I would say that I'll just give a couple of names. You know, if you look at the type of store at Walmart, Target, Ross, Five Below, Chipotle, you're just giving some names across the spectrum. All of them are considering opening stores in 2023.
That's
and some to a larger extent, some to a less of extent, but all thinking about opening up stores. The dollar stores are clearly opening up many, many more stores than others, and then have been doing that for the last couple of years. But it goes right across essential food, discount, and in some cases, some luxury goods.
You know, in my region, the top one is Publix. You know, I still do a fair amount of work with them, and they're doing a great job. And so that's consistent with what you just said as far as expanding.
And I actually should have mentioned some of the grocers, you know, because you're exactly right. The grocers have seen some really nice opportunity by changing some formats, perhaps, to get back into the swing with their clientele.
I've told this story before, but when my daughters were young and I would take them out, just me and like daddy-daughter day, I remember calling my wife and saying, well, what do I do if they need to use the bathroom? And my wife would always say, take them to Publix. And you know, that the ability that has clean, safe bathrooms, it's like great retailers understanding their customer. And a lot of times it's families and families, young kids, and knowing creating safe environments, that's part of being key, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's so important. Retailers really, you know, think of it. We'll call them clients, they'll call them customers, but it's number one. It's number one. And if e-commerce has done anything that, and I think it's been it's created a positive aspect. It's made the retailer recognize that service is extremely important. And providing e-commerce as a service, but also smiling when someone comes in is pretty important. And well, and understanding data on the people you do business with is important. And providing facilities for them when they're in the store so it feels good is important. And it's made them better. I think e-commerce has made our retailers better.
I agree. I always reference, I've got these teenage daughters and a wife that's my age and a mom I take care of who's 84. Retailers got to understand everything about all of them. Glenn, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with Glenn Raffano, chairman of ICSC.
Crossmark Services is a commercial real estate firm offering a wide range of professional services, including advisory, brokerage and leasing, investing, and property management. Our staff comprises the industry's most seasoned professionals who possess the needed knowledge in real estate investments, analysis, and portfolio management to drive growth. See how Crossmark can work for you. That's crossmarkservices.com.
Once again, here's John Crossman.
We're back here at the Crossman Conversation, the CEO edition, with Glenn Raffano, who's chairman of ICSC and absolutely one of the top men I respect in our entire industry. So grateful for him. And Glenn, we were just talking about hot retailers. A couple last questions before I'll let you go. Can you just talk about like hot markets, just geographies? Are there parts of the country that you look at and you think, ooh, that's a market people should be watching?
Well, the interesting part about markets is some of it has been caused by the pandemic where people have moved out. And so markets that you would have thought were tertiary or secondary or tertiary now become less so. And it's actually one of the reasons I hear from our owners and retailers why open-air shopping centers, for instance, have become much more popular because they're sitting out in the suburbs. And people who moved away from the cities, at least for a while, went out to the suburbs. So markets have gotten better. I was at a North Carolina conference in Charlotte. Not North Carolina. I was in Charlotte for a conference for the kind of south, the middle of the country. And I heard someone say, there are no more tertiary markets anywhere in the Carolinas. I said, no more. That sounds pretty good. He said, because there's so many people who moved here. Mm. And so the Southeast is clearly one of the areas that markets have changed. And there's been a lot of demand down there because folks moving from the Northeast, going to North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, parts of Texas, Nashville. You hear about other cities, Memphis and Tennessee, Idaho, parts of that state, parts of Montana, which has been popular for a long time, probably because of Yellowstone.
For sure.
But there are places, cities in those part necks of the woods where retailers are now thinking of them as either moving from tertiary to secondary or secondary to primary. And that's been a big trend that has been moving capital. I will tell you from when we think about the capital markets, people who are talking at our conferences or I speak with on some regular basis, they're keen to move to those population growth states. And a bunch of those numbers have come out, where Florida and Texas have really moved really well. Arizona, as you know, I was with Farid and we were in Phoenix. That whole market is unbelievably on fire with people moving. But I think you have to take the other side of that as well. So those are some of the top markets I hear about. But it means people are coming from somewhere.
That's right. There's that demographic shift.
And what does
yeah.
it mean for those markets?
Yeah. Well,
where people are migrating from.
Yeah, it's a good point. Like we're in Central Florida, we have a lot of migration in. Some of that's international, obviously, but I hear your point. Glenn, let me ask you this: as you look at younger CEOs that are ramping up in today's world, what's Glenn Raffano's advice on? Hey, you're coming up, you're getting the keys to the kingdom now. This is what Glenn would tell you need to know to be a successful CEO in today's and future world.
It's a good general question, and I'll try to identify some points that I think are important. CEOs, and there's going to be a difference, John, between public and private. Now, there's a bunch of commonality there, but public is really a different animal at times. But let me just talk in general for both. Then if you'd like, I can go into specifics on either. But the CEO, everybody talks about a CEO you have to be able to be strategic. That's got to be assumed. I mean, if you're in that spot, that isn't a big check. It's a prerequisite. I think there are some other underlying issues that are more important. Execution is every bit as important as coming up with a strategic plan. And I find many CEOs think about the strategic plan but have a hard time executing. Mm. Then there are some other elements that a CEO has to think about, because sometimes when you get to that position, you feel entitled. Mm. You should never feel entitled. The CEO should never feel entitled. They have to work every day for their job. And entitlement is something I think a CEO has to stay away from. You have to lead by example, not just telling people what to do. You've got to do it. Unless you can lead by example, your team isn't going to follow. And the third point I'd make in those contexts, in terms of what you should be thinking about, is you should know who are your constituents, who are you working for, and here, is where there. I always have a disagreement with the SEC. The SEC. Actually has a doctrine that's pretty clear that the company works for shareholders, therefore the CEO works for shareholders. I never fully agreed with that. If I'm running a real estate company, I have three constituents. I don't have one. Shareholders are clearly a constituent. They're very important. And I broaden that to stakeholders, which means shareholders and debt holders and preferred holders of stock. So all that, those constituents, that's a very important part of who I have to serve. But I also have to serve my employees. That's a major constituent of a CEO. You have to make sure that your team and your employees understand what their jobs are and enjoy their jobs. And then the third constituent are our tenants. John, you and I have been in this business for a long time. If our retail tenants aren't happy with the way we're running our properties, we have a problem. So understanding your constituents, and those three are important. And all three, stakeholders, employees, and retailers have to be happy. They have to understand your position as a CEO, what you believe should be done with the company, and where you're going. If they're all a little unhappy, it's maybe okay. But you can't have any one constituency fall out of bed, because just think about it. If your employees aren't happy, you're not going to be able to serve your shareholders or your tenants. And if your tenants aren't paying rent, everything else falls apart. So I think those are some elements of being a CEO that are important.
So Glenn, we've got just 2 minutes left, and I want you to know something. I tricked you a little bit. Before I asked you that question, I wrote down what you've taught me. I wrote down what Glenn Rufano taught me, and then I asked a question. So I want to read you what I wrote about Glenn Rufano, what he's taught me. And here's my number one. Glenn has taught me to be humble. Glenn has taught me the importance of always responding. Glenn's taught me the importance of caring. He's taught me the importance of focus and the value of making impact. So that's how I would have answered what you've taught me. Did I get that right? Have I learned the lessons you wanted me to learn?
Well, and I think that a lot of what you said was much more direct in terms of what I just said generally. So I would agree with all of that. Absolutely.
You are those things. Glenn, thank you so much for being the Crossman Conversation, the CEO edition. And thank you for what you do to serve the industry. And thank you truly for what you've done to serve people who in the past haven't always been seen. I always reference that we live in a nation that seems to think I tweet, therefore I am. Like somehow if I just have the right social media post, I'm making impact. And you've never been that guy. You've been the guy that's actually writing the check and building a relationship and making a difference in people's lives. So thank you, Glenn, for all you've done for me and so many others.
Thanks, John. And I've enjoyed having this conversation.
Absolutely. This has been John Crossman on the Crossman Conversation CEO Edition with our guest, Glenn Rufano, the chairman of ICSC. We'll be back with a final word in just a moment.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Once again, here's John Crossman.
We are back, just doing a little final comments here. Mike, how powerful was Glenn Rufano?
You know, I love what you said about him, about what he's taught you. And at the top of the list, humility. That is something that every businessman, I don't care what business you're in, that is a value. And that is a character trait that really is so important in any endeavor in business, I would think.
It was funny because when we went off air and I was just thanking him for being on the show and I said, hey, can I do anything for you? And he just quickly came back and said, well, what can I do for you, John? Like, it's just kind of amazing. I mean, he has been the CEO of Cushman & Wakefield. He's the chairman of ICSC. He's been the CEO of VREIT. I mean, you're talking, I don't know that there's a higher ranking, more successful person in the industry than Glenn. And of course he's intelligent. Of course he's on point and he's been a successful CEO at the highest levels, and yet you can feel that humility. And when he's talking about investing in HBCUs in Alabama and North Carolina, and I will tell you this story. I got a call about North Carolina Central University, the first black college ever starting a real estate program, and they needed some help with some funding. I emailed Glenn right back to me personally. He jumped on that and then got ICSC. I mean, there's just so many leaders that talk a game and they're not the real deal, and he is the real deal.
Now, there's something that I think would be helpful for the listeners of this program to hear your take on. What is it that, Glenn, do you think, and you, what is it that you've seen that makes, I know you have a heart for it, mm-hmm. but what is the value to the community that being that involved in things like HBCUs?
Sure. So real estate historically has been the highest wealth creator and power in the world, right? Just the term landlord, you know, think about that. And so most people throughout the history of the planet.
I've never thought about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a big deal. So when people think about real estate, it's about power and control. It's how people can only vote if they're men and they own land. I mean, that's a big thing. And land ownership was taught generationally, right? So people who were poor or women or a minority group anywhere in the world, they didn't have access to that. So when you start saying, hey, how do we give more opportunities? Well, that's through education. So stepping into a place, historically black college universities, there's 101 of them until not that long ago, none of them taught real estate. So all these people going to college, they don't even know. If you go to a major university you and I could name all over the country, they have well-established real estate programs because they were created by wealthy people, right? So it's a way to create that opportunity in that space.
Mm-hmm. That old saying that invest in land because they don't make any more of it.
Right.
It's really a big deal, isn't it?
It's a big deal and people miss it and how we're going to cure different ails. You know, the other thing I'll say is this, is that, you know, he really reminds me like of a Proverbs Solomon, right? He stays so focused on good, solid wisdom wrapped up with kindness, you know? And I think you can feel that from him and all the things he's done. He took over a company that the previous regime had done some not so good stuff. And so he created a vision and like, hey, these four core things we're going to do. And then my friends would tell me that worked for him that every single meeting he started with those four core things.
Wow,
and I'll wrap up with this. I had several key moments in my life. I've gone to Glenn and said, should I do this or this? And every time taking the call, I mean, we've never done business together. We've never done a deal together. He's just taken the call, listened to me, and then said, John, think about this, think about that. I just can't tell you how many times. I remember sitting in a restaurant having a Coke with him in Manhattan, and I was a young guy. I was a young executive in my early 30s and just being like, Glenn, what should I do about this and this? And he'd been right there with me. So chairman of ICSC, guy that's impacting the world, and really on the cutting edge and just a great human. So I think for a lot of CEOs, there's a lot to be pulled out of the depths of being like Lynn. This has been John Crossman, and with my producer, Mike Gillen. Thanks, Mike, for always being with me.
It's my joy.
And being so supportive and helpful. Thanks for being here with us, and we'll see you next time on the Crossman Conversation, the CEO Edition.
This has been the Crossman Conversation, CEO Edition, with your host, John Crossman. Tune in next week for another talk with an experienced CEO that will help bring clarity to your business endeavors.
The preceding was a Mark Radio production.